Hello, everyone. I'm Richard Roberts, and welcome to the Expect a Miracle podcast. This week, I want to talk a little bit more about Lindsay's new book, Discover Your True Strength. I'm holding a copy of it in my hand as I make this podcast, and very, very touched by one page, which I didn't know she put in the book until I saw the finished copy. Just before the table of contents, I like that. She writes this to our three daughters. She says, "To Jordan, Olivia, and Chloe, my greatest sources of inspiration and strength, you three are my definition of resilience, courage, creativity, intelligence, and unconditional love. It's your unwavering spirit that drives the message of this book. I love you all dearly." What a wonderful thing to say about our three daughters. But she didn't stop there. She began to talk about me, and I was shocked. I didn't know she was going to put this in the book. She said, "Richard, your steadfast support has been my pillar of strength throughout our marriage and certainly throughout the journey of writing this book. You are the rock of our family, and I love you. Thank you for always being my biggest encourager." Wow, what a wonderful thing for her to say. I really appreciate that. This book is very, very powerful in helping you to discover the strength of God that's in you. Well, how do I get that strength out? Well, one way is to get this book and learn, like chapter one, the power in choosing strength. And chapter two, strong women understand their identity and their purpose. Chapter three, strong women choose the word over the world. Chapter four, strong women go to the ball. You're going to have to get the book to see what that's all about. Chapter five, strong women maximize their mental real estate. Chapter six, strong women believe in miracles. Very, very creative, inventive chapter titles. Chapter seven, strong women use their words wisely. Chapter 8, strong women say yes, no, or nothing at all. Number 9, strong women listen. Number 10, strong women use their strengths to succeed. Chapter 11, strong women pursue a clear vision for their lives. Number 12, strong women forgive. Chapter 13, strong women know when to move on. Chapter 14, strong women bounce back. I love these chapters. Chapter 15, strong women pray. Chapter 16, strong women give. Chapter 17, strong women choose faith over fear. Chapter 18, strong women guard their soul. And chapter 19, strong women finish powerfully. Then there is a conclusion and also a spiritual strength training course with questions and action steps for each chapter. And an appendix on strong women, it's time to thrive. And there's a place for notes. It's absolutely fabulous. I challenge you to get your copy if you don't have it. Go to richardroberts.org or just go to discoveryourtruestrength.com and order your copy. There is a powerful, powerful woman who lives in Australia who is a prophet of God. Her name is Lana Vassar. And I wanted to meet Lana. I had not had the opportunity to meet her. And so I put out a telephone search. You know, you're only a couple of telephone calls from reaching anyone in the world. And I started a search, and lo and behold, I found her and her husband. They live up in the Brisbane area where I have preached in up in Queensland in Australia. And we had a wonderful time of talking on the phone. And I had heard a podcast that she had done, a message she had given, which she titled, "Welcome to Health." And I thought that was the most unusual title, "Welcome to Health." And I think many people don't look forward to health. They kind of wallow in the sickness. They wallow in the disease. They say, "Well, you think you're sick. Let me tell you about my sickness." And they take ownership. They claim it. And Lana's attitude and her way of talking was saying, "Welcome to health." In other words, looking forward to health. I remember years ago, I was invited to attend a kickbox championship match here in Tulsa. It was in a ballroom in one of the great hotels here in our city. The world champion at that time in that class, in that weight class, was a man right here from Tulsa His name is Dale Apollo Cook. And Dale Apollo, we called him Apollo, was a world champion, as I said, in his class weight. And he has a kickboxing school. I think he still has it here in Tulsa. And he came on our program. He's a spirit-filled Christian. He came on our program, and I interviewed him. And afterwards, he invited me to come to this championship match that he was going to defend his world title. So he asked if I would come back to the dressing room and lay hands on him and pray over him before the fight, which I did. And then they ushered us down and gave me a first row seat, front row seat, which was really exciting. And I mean, there was music playing, there were flags flying everywhere. It was quite the lights were flashing on and off. It was a festive type of atmosphere. Well, all of a sudden the music changed, became very dark sounding music, heavy metal rock. And the challenger came out. And the challenger comes down the aisle and he's using expletives deleted. he's yelling, he's screaming, he's talking all these things he's going to do to Dale Apollo Cook when he gets him in the ring. And it's just, and people are booing him, and he's coming down the aisle, and he's just going wild. He gets in the ring, he's strutting around, yelling and screaming, spitting. He's saying everything you can imagine against Dale Apollo Cook. When all of a sudden, the music changes. And it's very glorious. It's very patriotic. I mean, it's just wildly great. And here comes Dale Apollo Cook down the aisle with his entourage. And the people are cheering and yelling and screaming for him. And he climbs into the ring and takes the microphone from the announcer and looks at his opponent and says, "Welcome to reality." And the crowd cheers, and the referee introduces them, and the fight begins, and a minute and 22 seconds later, it was over. Apollo was standing on, looking down at the guy, the challenger on the campus, who was out like a light. Welcome to reality. I love that. Welcome to reality. Satan, in the name of Jesus, welcome to reality. Your days are numbered. The day is coming when the angel of the Lord is coming to chain you up and put you in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. You have nothing on me. You have nothing on Christians. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We were made only a little bit lower than the angels. Greater is he who's in us than he that is in the world. Devil, welcome to reality. Praise God. And I've got several things I want to share with you. I want to help you today. I want to help you to understand that you have a bright future. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, "My plans for you are good." They're not bad plans, they're good plans. So the first thing that I want to say to you today is this: tomorrow is a better day. Tomorrow is a better day. When my wife Lindsay was a little girl and she didn't feel well, she'd always say to her mother, "Mom, I'm going to be better tomorrow." It meant she had something to look forward to. And many people today don't feel like they have anything to look forward to. But I say to you in this message today on this podcast, tomorrow is going to be a better day. Weeping only lasts for the night. Tomorrow, it's going to be better. Look forward to tomorrow. The second thing I want to say, very simple, hope is the raw material of faith. Hope is the raw material of faith. You've got to have hope. You've got to believe God. You've got to understand that your faith can move mountains. Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 23 and 24, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, 'Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea,' and shall not doubt in his or her heart, but shall believe that the things which they say shall come to pass, they shall have whatsoever they say." Faith can move mountains, but you've got to speak it. You've got to say it. Just thinking it is not enough. Just reading it is not enough. Faith has to become action. You've got to say it. It's got to become a part of you. And Matthew 17, 22 says, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed," that is a seed that you will sow, "and if you will sow it, then you have a Bible right to believe that God will use your seed for his glory and then multiply it back in Jesus' name." The third thing I want to say is no friction, no movement. No friction, no movement. Engineers understand that friction causes strain on a motor or an engine, and parts wear out. Sometimes our parts wear out, and friction comes. Everybody's faced friction in some time of their life. The definition of friction is the action of one surface or an object rubbing against another. I've faced a lot of friction in my life. I don't know about you, but I've faced a lot of friction. I've had a lot of friction that's come against me. I've had things said against me that weren't true. I've had things written about me that weren't true. I've had stories and rumors spread about me that aren't true. I know what friction's like. I've been opposed in my life. I've had people to attack me in my life. I still face that. All of my life I faced that. I watched my father face it. I faced it. But you know what? I have stood strong in the authority of the name of Jesus, and I've not let that kind of stuff attack me, or I should say attach itself to me. Something about criticism. Something I learned from my father. Criticism won't hurt you unless it needs to. Criticism won't hurt you unless it needs to. Now, when I'm criticized, I do a couple things. First of all, I examine myself. I look into the mirror and I have a board meeting. And I say, is there anything about the criticism that's true? And if the answer is yes, then I make some changes. But if it's not true, I just discard it and don't think about it again. Now, let me say that again. When criticism comes, here's what I do. I look in the mirror and I say, is there anything in this criticism that's true? And if I find that there is something true, then I repent and I make some changes. But if it's not true, I dismiss it and I consider the source. No friction, no movement. Engines have friction because there's movement. And you've got to have movement in your life. Here's a fourth thing. And you really need to let this get down in your spirit today. God will never leave you nor forsake you. He's there with you. He's awake all night. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. The disciples didn't seem to understand that. Jesus has said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake, which meant they couldn't go under. But when they got out in the water on the boat, and the winds and the waves came, and the boat began to sink as the water was filling up the boat, they forgot that Jesus was with them. He was in the boat all right, but they forgot. And they awakened him and said, don't you even care? We're about to drown. And Jesus awakened and walked to the bow of the ship and put out his hands and said, peace be still. And there was a great calm. He turned to the disciples and said, where was your faith? I was with you all the time. All you had to do was speak in the authority of my name. They didn't understand. When Jesus said, let us go over to the other side of the lake, it meant they could not go under. When I was just a baby, I was 2 years old at the time. My father pitched his 7,000-seat tent in Amarillo, Texas. It was in the summer during tornado season. And they did not have, like it is now here in Oklahoma, they did not have the elaborate warning systems in 1950 that they have today. As I said, I was just 2 years old in my mother's arms. I don't remember, but my mother and dad told me the story, and I remember reading the newspaper accounts of it. And one night in the crusade, a tornado came across that field, and there was an announcement made, run for your life. And 7,000 people took off running. Well, the tornado came through and destroyed the tent, but no one's life was lost. No serious injuries. And the next morning, the Amarillo newspaper had the headline, Saving of 7,000 Called Miracle. And my father went out to survey the damage, and the tent had been completely demolished. The metal tent poles were bent in half. Pieces of the tent were found 6 miles away. Completely demolished, and he was weeping, because he had just bought the tent and spent all the money that he had to buy it. Walking through the rubble, somebody walked up to him and handed him a telegram. It was long before email days. The telegram was from Pastor Charles Blair of Calvary Temple in Denver. And it said these words, Oral Roberts, you cannot go under for going over. And that word, you cannot go under for going over, sparked faith in my dad's heart to believe that he could get the money to buy a bigger tent, a better tent, a stronger tent. It wasn't long until he had a new tent. This tent seated 12,000. And that's the tent that I remember growing up under. You can't go under for going over. Stop accepting the negative and start accentuating the positive in your life. Then number five, prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. After Elijah had a great battle with the prophets of Baal, he went up to the mountain and began to pray. He began to pray for rain. The Bible says he put his head between his knees and began to pray. And as he prayed, he would send his servant to the edge of the cliff and look out over the Mediterranean Sea for a cloud. Seven times, the Bible says, he sent his servant. Finally, on the seventh time, the young man came back and said to his master, "Elijah, there is a little cloud raising up out of the water." Elijah said, and I'm going to paraphrase, "Hot dog, Jesus, it's going to rain." And he sent word to the king, "You better get in your chariot and head back to Jezreel, for your wheels stick in the mud." He prayed, and because he prayed, and because he wouldn't stop praying, sure enough, that cloud turned into what they call a cumulonimbus, a thunderhead, and the rains came. And he took off running. The Bible says he lifted up his robe and began to run. And the scripture says he outran King Ahab's chariot. Now, that's not possible in the natural, but prayer changes things. Prayer is the key that unlocks the throne of God's mercy in a person's life. I believe in prayer. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. Lana Vosser said, "Welcome to health." Dale Apollo Cook said, "Welcome to reality." And I say to you, welcome to your future. If you will believe God and trust Him, if you put your faith in Him, if you sow your seed unto Him, if you pray in the Spirit and act like the way the Bible teaches you to act, then you're going to have great success in your life. You say, "Well, I've had failures. I've made mistakes. I've had shortcomings." Well, welcome to the world. So have I. But at 75 years old, I am thriving. And the reason I'm thriving is because I've refused to quit. There's no future in quitting. Any old dead fish can float downstream. It takes a live fish to swim upstream. Here I am at 75 years of age. I announced on the last podcast in July, the 22nd of July, I'm launching out into a brand new 30-minute live healing program Monday through Friday at noon Central Time on the Victory Television Network. Victory Network is the fastest growing Christian television network in the world. And I've been dealing with Kenneth Copeland, my longtime friend. We've set July 22nd as the day to start. That's a Monday. I'll be doing a live healing program called The Place for Miracles Live on Monday through Friday, beginning July 22nd on the Victory Network at noon Central Time. That's 1 o'clock in the East, noon here in our time zone, 11 in the Mountain time zone, and 10 on the West Coast. It's going to be a live interactive healing program 5 days a week. Listen, you can run faster than you can run. If I can do this at 75 years old, what can you do? Tomorrow is going to be a better day. Use your faith. Believe God for His miraculous power in your life. Understand that tomorrow is going to be a better day. Use the hope that you have. It's the raw material of your faith. Remember, no friction, no movement. You're going to have opposition in your life. Get used to it and thrive and say, "It's not going to stop me." And understand He's never going to leave you. He's with you always. And the prayers that you pray change things in your life. Hallelujah. I'm setting my faith with you in the authority of Jesus' name for healing from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Satan, you take your hands off God's property. You loose every man, every woman listening to this podcast. I pray and I believe God for miracles in your life today in the authority of Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Thank you for joining me today. Remember, order your copy of Lindsay's new book, Discover Your True Strength. Go to richardroberts.org or discoveryourtruestrength.com. God bless you. I'll talk to you next time right here on this podcast. Bye-bye.
I want to ask you a couple of questions. Have you ever felt lost? Are you concerned about your future? Have you ever felt like you have no strength to deal with the current situation? Do you live in fear sometimes and wonder how to get out of it? Me too. I'm Lindsay Roberts, and I want to tell you what I did. I wrote a book about it called Discover Your True Strength, Choosing to Thrive in the Midst of Life's Challenges. I want to help you. I want to help you find direction the same way I found direction, step by step, idea by idea, concept by concept, a way that I could follow to understand, guess what? I have inner strength. I have strength on the inside that God allowed me to tap into, and I believe you have strength on the inside that you can tap into. I want you to discover your true strength, and I believe this book will be there to help you every step of the way. All you have to do is go online, discoveryourtruestrength.com, and I pray it blesses you.